It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
You and you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
And good Wednesday morning to you. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy this morning. It is December 6, 2017. And I tell you, this will be a day that will likely go down in history. Reports are that just in a few hours, President Donald Trump will do what no other American president has ever done. Despite promises made since 1995, actually, by President Bill Clinton at the time, declaring that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. But they put a proviso in that if it was a threat to national security, then that declaration would not be made and the U.S. embassy would not be moved from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Well, that will turn out to be the big news today, folks, and I want to talk a whole lot more about that in just a few moments. But first, just a quick review of the big story from yesterday. And that is the United States Supreme Court hearing in the Jack Phillips case, the Masterpiece Bakery case. I heard a lot about that yesterday. Jack Phillips, the Christian baker from Colorado, who, like Baronel Stutzman in Washington State and the Kleins in Oregon, being punished by human rights commissions in their various states for refusing to participate in a homosexual wedding. In the Klein's case, refusal to bake a cake for a homosexual wedding, Baronel Stutzman, a florist in the Seattle area of Washington State, refusing to supply flowers for a homosexual wedding there. But the case before the United States Supreme Court yesterday dealt with Masterpiece Bakery. Jack Phillips is the owner of that. He was attacked, and we have to remind people once again, it was not about not selling different things to homosexuals. It was about their refusal to participate in a homosexual wedding. In Jack Phillips' case, refusal to make a cake to celebrate a homosexual wedding. These people are Christians, and they believe in this country, the United States of America, they should still maintain the right to their religious beliefs and to run their businesses accordingly. This morning, Jack Phillips and his lawyer, Kristen Wagner, who argued the case for Jack Phillips yesterday before the United States Supreme Court. They did an interview on Fox, and just it served as a good reminder of really what this case is all about. Cut six.
Jack, I want to talk to you about the Supreme Court and your reaction to what happened yesterday.
Yeah, it was a pretty amazing event. And now we just hope that the court looks at the case and rules that creative professionals are able to create according to their conscience.
Jack, I mean, to get more background on this, you own a cake shop. Is this an instance where you were going out of your way to find a same-sex couple to offend, or did a customer come in and you said, "Hey, it's just my belief system that I can't do that"?
They just came in looking for a cake that I could not create. I do serve everybody who comes in my shop. So.
And Jack told them that he'd offer to sell them anything in the store, offer to make them other pre-made cakes. He just couldn't express that message in his cakes. And so it was simply the event and the message that they were asking for at that time.
Why couldn't you serve them? Why did you say, "I'm not able to make you a cake"?
Because they were asking me to create a cake that would celebrate a view of marriage that goes against the core values of my faith's view on marriage.
And Christian, critics will call your client's position intolerant. You say it's actually real tolerance is allowing someone to express their religious beliefs or their free speech perspective. Is that ultimately what this case is about?
It is, because the same law that applies to Jack and forces him to violate his conscience applies to an atheist singer who would have to perform in an Easter religious service, or a Catholic filmmaker that would have to promote the Church of Scientology, or an oil painter that would have to paint a portrait of Muhammad violating their convictions. This is a much broader issue that expands to all creative artists, not just those who are sketching and sculpting and painting on a cake.
So there you have it. You heard the voices there of Jack Phillips, the defendant in this case, and his lawyer, Kristen Wagner, who made their arguments yesterday before the United States Supreme Court. Coming out of the arguments yesterday morning, the feeling was that Justice Kennedy likely will be the pivotal vote in this case. And reading the comments from people who were in the courtroom, there was some degree of optimism amongst conservatives and pessimism among the liberals who were in the court that Justice Kennedy appears to be leaning towards Jack Phillips. You can't always trust those leanings, though, because sometimes these justices, quite frankly, ask questions which almost mislead the audience as to where their leanings are. But we'll have to wait and see. The United States Supreme Court will now deliberate on this. They'll likely make a decision in the next couple of months, but we may not know their decision. They have until next June. So we'll be watching and waiting. In the meantime, continue to pray for Jack Phillips. His family has suffered greatly financially. He's had to lay people off. And this is a pivotal case. It is not just about Jack Phillips. It's about religious freedom in this country. All right, as I mentioned, the other major story happening today is reports indicate that just in a few hours, President Donald Trump will make an announcement that he is recognizing, he on behalf of the United States, is recognizing Jerusalem as the legitimate capital of Israel. As I say, Bill Clinton put that into writing back a few years ago. Now, it's really interesting. Other presidents, including President George Bush, including President Barack Obama, have said they would do that. But, of course, we now know they never did that. Cut number four, Rob.
As soon as I take office, I will begin the process of moving the United States ambassador to the city of Israel as chosen as its capital.
Jerusalem will remain the capital of Israel, and it must remain undivided.
So there you have it. What do words mean? Well, apparently from President George Bush and Barack Obama, they mean absolutely nothing. They were speaking to pro-Jewish groups when they made those statements there. Both of those presidents had 8 years in office, and they did not go through with their promise that they made to the electorate at the time. So there you have it. Why is this so important, folks? Well, we can go back to the Bible, number one, the promise is there. God made the promise to Israel. And in that Abrahamic covenant in Genesis chapter 12, God said, I will bless those that bless you, Israel, and curse those that curse you, and I will make you a blessing to all the nations of the world. And they have certainly done that. That city belongs to the people of Israel. But that has been the debate out there. Even inside the Trump administration, there is still strong debate, but we are told today that he will at least make the declaration that Jerusalem is going to be recognized as the capital of Israel. Alan Dershowitz is a very liberal lawyer, by the way, but he was on Fox and Friends this morning, and he made it very clear where he stands on this issue. That is cut number three.
I think that President Trump's decision to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel is the perfect response to President Obama's outrageous orchestration of the Security Council resolution, which he pushed through as a lame duck that declared the Western Wall to be illegally occupied territory, the Hebrew University, the Hadassah Hospital, the Jewish Quarter. According to this resolution that was basically pushed through by Obama, these are outrageously flagrant violations of international law. The best response to that horrible resolution is for the president to say, we don't accept the UN resolution, and the best proof of it is we're going to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. You say it's occupied, we say it's the capital.
Yeah, let's go back, because you're going to hear a lot of things today, folks, surrounding this story. Israel took it over during the 1967 war. Well, let's do a little walk down history here. That war in 1967 basically was started by five Arab countries that surround Israel, and their goal was to annihilate the Jewish people and to get rid of the nation of Israel. And Israel won that war. With the help of the United States military, no, with God's help, because they were badly outnumbered in that. No, God wants, and I think President Trump is going to be blessed for this, for doing this declaration. Now, you're also going to hear, because it's making headlines this morning, that groups like terrorist groups, Islamic terrorist groups like Hamas, they have already called for a day of rage on Friday, and other groups. You may have heard the news just a few moments ago, the president of Turkey saying this could jeopardize our relationships with Israel. Listen, folks, here's the bottom line in all of this. The Palestinian people, and you hear so much talk about this will jeopardize efforts toward a two-state nation, et cetera, et cetera. The Palestinians do not want, they do not want an agreement on a two-state, the so-called two-state solution. They don't want that. They never did. You may go back to the Camp David Accord. Remember back many years ago, back when Jimmy Carter was president at the time, Yasser Arafat, the leader of the Palestinians, was given 99% of what he wanted, and then he turned it down because they do not want peace with Israel. That's the bottom line in all of this. You know, the other fact that you may not be aware of is that, of course, the United States gives tens of millions of dollars to the Palestinian people to help them with their economy, et cetera, et cetera. Do you know where some of that money goes, folks? It goes right into the hands of Palestinian terrorists. Yeah, here's what the Palestinian government does, folks. They take money, taxpayers' money from the United States of America, and they reward the families of suicide bombers who kill innocent Israeli citizens. They don't want peace with Israel. You go into a Palestinian school, look at the maps of the Middle East, Israel doesn't even exist on their map. That's what's going on here. And by the way, also a little historical lesson on the term Palestinians. There wasn't a Palestinian people made up of Arabs until 1962 when Yasser Arafat actually borrowed that term. During World War II, there was a Palestinian brigade made up totally of Jews, a Palestinian symphony orchestra made up totally of Jews, because they are the original occupants and people of Israel. So today is going to be an interesting day, folks. When we come back after our break, you're going to hear a short interview with former governor of Arkansas, Mike Huckabee, on this. He was asked about this morning on Fox News. He had some very, very interesting things to say as the as a former pastor, Southern Baptist pastor, along with being governor, had some very interesting things to say about this whole issue of whether the Jews have the right to declare Jerusalem as their capital. It really helps folks to know some history on all of this. Because it, particularly in the secular media, and sad to say, even amongst those some of those who call themselves Christians, they are going to be fiercely opposed to what the president plans to do today. So this is a very key day, a very historic day for this country. And we need to pray. We need to pray for President Donald Trump to do what apparently he said he's going to do. And then pray for the people of Israel. We had Jan Markell on this morning of Olive Tree Ministries, and she said, you know, it is the people who live in Israel today. You can be sure there are going to be a ramping up of terrorist attacks in the wake of all of this. Those warnings have gone out already. So pray for the people, the Jewish people of Israel, that they would be protected in the wake of this announcement today. Much more ahead here on Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy on this Wednesday, December the 6th. We'll be right back after the break.
So what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23, now available in Montana. 855-PSALM-23.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. It's the height of lunacy, stupidity, and hypocrisy that as one reads news articles online describing the sexual activities of this growing number of individuals as Charlie Rose, Matt Lauer, U.S. Senator Al Franken, Congressman Conyers, Garrison Keillor, that as you move down the page, wham, right there are pictures of women in sexual poses, shapely bodies in an advertisement often having nothing to do with the product they're promoting. What a disconnect. So on the one hand, we lament, even rightly castigate, those sexual abusers and harassers, and yet in the next breath, we put sexual fodder out for both the innocent and the lustful. Is it any wonder? This is a Decency Minute, an outreach broadcast of the American Decency Association based in Fremont, Michigan. I'm Bill Johnson.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Caitlin Bird. I'm a nursing major and I'm a junior. The School of Nursing here at TMU, it's different than any other, you know, university or college out there. Every time we come into class, no matter which nursing professor it is, we always begin in devotion and prayer, and we become a family. They actually allow the students to get up and do devotion and prayer. We pray with each other and for each other, and that's just what sets us apart from any other school of nursing out there.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
Ladies and gentlemen, the swamp gas is bubbling over in our nation's capital, and that foul odor is the smell of what could very well be a nefarious plot to undo the results of the 2016 presidential election. The controversy centers around Peter Sturzok, a former member of the FBI team investigating President Trump. He was forced off the team for writing anti-Trump text messages. Fox News reports he's also the one who interviewed Michael Flynn, catching him in a lie. But it also turns out Mr. Sturzok is the one responsible for softening the language in the Hillary Clinton email scandal, from grossly negligent, possibly a crime, to extremely careless, not a crime. Something does not pass the smell test here, folks. I don't believe in conspiracies, but I'm beginning to wonder if forces are at work in our government conspiring to take down the Trump administration. I'm Todd Starnes.
Merry Christmas from American Family Radio and Sandy Rios in the Morning. Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio. Everybody.
That's one of our producers, Rob Gardner, singing there.
Let me tell you, it wouldn't be. I guarantee
you. Well, it sure wasn't me. I tell you what. Hey, listen, Merry Christmas, everyone. And I'm sure you're busy in the throes of getting ready for that big day. And speaking of big days, if you've been listening since the opening of the show this morning, today is a big day. President Donald Trump promising later on today that he will make the declaration that the United States now recognizes Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. As we were mentioning just a few moments ago, the Arab world is gone ballistic over this. Hamas terrorist group in Gaza saying that Friday will be a day of rage. Other Arab countries, at least out front, are saying they're extremely upset about this. And but, you know, the word is that countries like some of those Arab countries like Saudi Arabia have got to publicly express some outrage about this. But the reality is, behind the scenes, they are actually developing a relationship with Israel because they have a common enemy, and that common enemy is Iran. Just be careful about when you're listening to the reaction to all of this. There's going to be this boisterous reaction up front, but there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes, I'll tell you to this. And I've been mentioning various people responding to this already. This morning on Fox and Friends, Governor Mike Huckabee, former governor of Arkansas, and a Southern Baptist preacher, he was asked about this and his take on what is going to happen later today with the president's declaration of Jerusalem being the recognized capital of Israel. Cut number five.
Well, we're finally doing something that we should have done a long time ago and that every president promised, and that is to recognize that Jerusalem has been the capital of only one people over the past 4,000 years, and that's the Jewish people. It has never been a capital for any other people. The Palestinians are a relatively new creation. They didn't come into being until 1962 when Yasser Arafat decided that he would take that name, which previously had applied to Jews, and decide that they would be a nation and a people and demand that Jerusalem become a capital. Well, that's nonsense. This is where the Jewish state should have its undisputed capital. It's this historic indigenous land, and it's the right thing to do, and it was the right thing to do over 20 years ago when presidents started saying they would do it. The reason they always pull back was because they were told that if you did, you're going to create a very tense situation. Pete, you know this to be true. There's already a tense situation. Mm-hmm. You don't get it much more tense. The violence has never subsided. In fact, every time Israel has made concessions, and they have made unbelievable concessions, they got nothing in return except more contempt, more violence, more outrage from the people that they were supposed to be helping. Look, if the Palestinians, and I saw one of their representatives talk about how, well, we're, you know, we just want peace. Well, then quit naming streets and schools after terrorist. Quit giving financial payments, including lifetime benefits and salaries, to the families of terrorists who killed Jews. That's a good start. And until then, don't talk about peace process, because there isn't one.
Well, there you have it. I think former governor of Arkansas, Mike Huckabee, making it very clear where he stands on this issue. Joining us right now to talk a little bit more about this is our own Dr. Alex McFarland, author and teacher and co-host of Exploring the Word right here in American Family Radio. Good morning, Dr. Alex.
Good morning, Fred. It's good to be with you.
Good to be with you. I've been telling folks this is an historic day. President Donald Trump going to declare that the United States now recognizes Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Your thoughts on all this?
Well, I believe it's absolutely as historic as when Harry Truman recognized the nation of Israel in 1948, when Israel reconstituted itself as a nation. I think it's the right thing to do, and I know there is the fear of repercussions from terrorist and Islamic nations, but, you know, in life and in international politics, you don't shrink away from doing the right thing because of fear. Leadership is doing the right thing because it is the right thing. And this is the right thing because it says the United States of America recognizes Israel's right to exist.
Yeah. If somebody, and you'll like it, you may get questions about this today on Exploring the Word. Explain to our audience the biblical basis for why most Christians, and I'm not saying all Christians, but most Christians do believe that Jerusalem is the legitimate capital of the Israeli people.
Well, that's a great question, Fred. Well, as Mike Huckabee said in the cut, and that was a brilliant audio soundbite there, and he gave a lot of great information. Really, throughout history, you know, for 4,000 years, there has been no capital of the nation of Israel but Jerusalem. And so by historical precedent and by biblical promise, biblical reality, you know, the people of Israel have the right to exist. This is their land by divine right. And you've got to remember that Islam didn't even exist until 622. Muhammad was born in 571. So think about this. By the time of the creation of of the, you know, Islamic religion, which is really, it borrows heavily from Christianity and from Judaism. It's a false religion, but it's an amalgam that drew from both Judaism and Christianity. But the Jews had been in that land for 3,500 years by the time Islam was first initiated. And I want to say this, Fred. I was in Jerusalem 2 years ago, and we were literally on the Temple Mount, and some young ladies came up to us and began to talk about how Jerusalem was the city of the prophet Muhammad. And we began a discussion, and they began to shout, Israel should be thrown to the sea. Israel must be thrown to the bottom of the sea, which is really a quote of something Yasser Arafat would say back in the 80s. And you've got to understand, not all. I know there are some individual Muslims that are just trying to live their lives and feed their families and do the things we all want to do. But collectively, so many of those nations and so many of the groups and the terrorist organizations, I mean, they don't even recognize the right of Jewish people to exist. I have heard in debates and in conversations, Muslims call Jewish people horrible names that I won't repeat. And so I really think this is historic, and I think that one of the things that we really need to pray for, as the Word of God tells us to do, is to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. This is the right thing to do because Satan hates the Jewish people. Because it was through the Jewish people that the Messiah came. Satan has tried to, as the book of Revelation says, the devil has made war on the woman that gave birth to the man-child. The man-child is Jesus, the woman is Israel. The dragon, the serpent, is Satan. We do need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Even though this is the right thing to do, there is an element of risk here.
Tell me, we're talking with Dr. Alex McFarland, well-known for being the co-host of Exploring the Word here on American Family Radio, and also well-known for the books he has written. He's a teacher that travels across the country. And Dr. Alex, it's good to have you on with us today on this program this morning on this very historic day. As I mentioned, there are some Christians who do not share your point of view. You have mentioned... we've talked about the biblical evidence for what the president is going to do today is the right thing to do. Why are there some Christians that will argue against this?
Well, in American Protestantism, for, 125 years, there's been liberalism, or sometimes called modernism. In the late 19th century, German higher criticism caused some schools and therefore denominations to turn away from biblical authority. And the people, and I know, Fred, I grew up PCUSA, and the PCUSA is pretty much wrong on everything. I mean, if you said water is wet, they would disagree with that. And some of the listeners that might be PCUSA know exactly what I'm talking about. But, it's funny how some of the mainline denominations that are, more liberal Protestantism in America have been anti-Israel because they don't recognize the authority of the Bible. Hmm. And, it's funny how, as Mike Huckabee said in the clip, Israel over the decades has made dozens and dozens of concessions, and the UN has tried to pressure them to give up land for peace, which never works, because the Muslim nations never uphold their end of the agreements. They believe it's okay to lie to the infidel. They believe that it's okay to defraud a non-Muslim in an agreement. And let me just say that to speak the truth about the disingenuous nature of Islam, it's not racism, it is not Islamophobia, nobody's afraid of anything, it's just a reality. And so I do pray, and obviously as a Christian, I pray that the precious Jewish people would know the Messiah. Mm-hmm. I pray for the precious souls of the Arab world that the people blinded by the false religion of Islam would know the true Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me say this. About 100 years ago, world religion textbooks, I think there's one from the 20s by Samuel S. Braden called The World's Great Religions. And it says this, and this is a quote back from before the time when academics was so politicized, but it said, Islam was the first religion that was start to exist simply in conscious opposition to Christianity and Judaism. It wasn't another book that I think about from 100 years ago that says, you know, Islam contributed no new germinal thought to the world of religion. It really has been a violent ideology from its beginnings. I would urge people to read a book by Samuel Huntington called The Clash of Civilizations. He's a Harvard professor. He was in the Carter administration, highly respected historian. But the book, The Clash of Civilizations, talks about the bloody, you know, body count that Islam has cut across the stage of history. And again, you know, we fought for far too long. American policy has been to capitulate and really to undermine the sovereignty of the nation of Israel. And, you know, I remember I was in a meeting in New York City during the campaign, and President, you know, then candidate Trump said, we must stand with Israel. And, you know, the candidate Trump, and I believe the President Trump, gets it. Donald Trump, I heard him say, he said, they're the only stable democracy in the Middle East. They're our longest ally in the Middle East. Israel has been a friend to America. America needs to be a friend to Israel. Amen. And hey, that's for foreign policy, that and really ultimately for the neutralization of terrorism, that's huge.
On Monday this week, there was a press conference at the National Press Club, and the purpose, people such as Joel Rosenberg were there, best-selling author Joel Rosenberg, but they were talking about a new Lifeway research study results, and basically said that that most older evangelical Americans still voice strong support for Israel. But the disturbing part of the survey was that younger evangelicals in the millennium age group do not share the same kind of dedication, the same kinds of beliefs when it comes to Israel. What's the problem?
Oh, great question, great question. You know, millennials will soon be the largest voting bloc in America, and they, a study that came out this week says that they vote 2-1 Democrat, which is really sad. And let me say, I know a lot of millennials and younger, you know, 30 and younger, that are Christians, but not always. I don't want to paint with too broad of a brush here. Not always, but very often millennials go more on feelings than thought, more on emotions than convictions. There are a lot of reasons for that, and maybe on another show we can talk about some of the demographics and some of the dynamics that have created this. But, you know, professed evangelicals that are younger, that skew Democrat rather than Republican, very often don't seem to connect the dots, or they don't see the incongruity that if you are a believer, if you're a follower of Jesus, the living word, you have to be obedient to Scripture, the written word. And, you know, some of the big issues of our time, religious freedom and marriage and the sanctity of human life, and yes, friendship with Israel, I know where I stand because I know where the Bible stands.
Amen.
And so we have to help this generation understand that to be a follower of Jesus means to be a follower of His Word.
Amen. Alex McFarland, thank you so much for being with us this morning. Anxious to listen to Exploring the Word this afternoon at 3 o'clock Central. As I say, you may get some questions about the big announcement today. So good to have you with us.
Thank you.
All right. When we come back after the break, 888-589-8840 is the number to call. 888-589-8840. Where do you stand on this issue? Want to hear from you this morning. 888-589-8840. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today. We're back right after the break.
Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. The Canadian legislature has passed the All Families Are Equal Act, which completely turns the legal definition of family on its head by redefining mother and father as parent. It completely eliminates the mother and father in Canadian law to allow for a purely contractual relationship between up to four adult parents and the children that are legally identified as theirs. This is one of the main goals of the sexual deviancy agenda. Destroy God's definition of family and redefine family to be whatever the government says it is.
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Many in America seem to have forgotten that its foundation was built on God. In this 40th year celebration of the American Family Association, we invite you to help us remind America once again of the truth behind our national motto, In God We Trust. You can do your part and display your faith with an In God We Trust car decal from the AFA store. Order yours today with free shipping at afastore.net. That's afastore.net.
As you're Christmas shopping, did you know the policy of one large retailer allows men into women's bathrooms and fitting areas? That's dangerous, and it's just plain wrong. This Christmas season, we hope and pray Target will see the light and change their policy. But until they do, we urge you to keep your family safe and let Target know you oppose their policy by shopping elsewhere. You can learn more and sign the Boycott Target Pledge at afa.net.
Here for your encouragement and your walk with God. This is David Wolin with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. The holiday calendar sure fills up fast, doesn't it? A massive to-do list, lights to hang, parties to attend, family gatherings, maybe even a road trip. And yet, all you really want to do is find a silent night or two to put your feet up. Time is something we all run out of too quickly. But not so with God. His timing is never rushed, never late, always perfect. And that's an encouraging thought, and a biblical one. But it's not always easy, because we have to learn to trust God's timing, to wait on Him. As Jesus told His disciples when they too wanted answers, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by His own authority." Try out Anchor Devotional, in print every month. Visit getanchor.com.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Amidst the unfolding litany of scandals involving men accused of sexually harassing and/or abusing women, there is a curious void, a kind of black hole for revelations and commentary. No mention is made about the fact that there is present around the world, including here in the United States, an institutionalized mistreatment of females of all ages. That would be the Islamic totalitarian code its adherents call Sharia. Among other things, it condones and in some cases makes obligatory such horrifically misogynistic practices as wife-beating, marital rape, child marriages, female genital mutilation, and so-called honor killings. If we've reached the point where prominent politicians like Representative John Conyers, journalists, and other celebrities are no longer going to get away with groping and assaulting women and girls, surely we must not tolerate such behavior conducted systematically under the pretext of religious practice. This is Frank Gaffney.
Merry Christmas from American Family Radio and Sandy Rios in the Morning.
As soon as I take office, I will begin the process of moving the United States ambassador to the city of Israel as chosen as its capital.
Jerusalem will remain the capital of Israel, and it must remain undivided.
Yeah. Promises of the past presidents, Barack Obama and George W. Bush. Yeah, Jerusalem will be the capital. One problem. Both of them had 8 years as president, and neither of them did it. Good morning, everyone. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy Rios this morning. The big story of the day, an historic day in American history, because if reports are true, and we've had no one dispute the reports yet, President Donald Trump, a little bit later today, will declare that the United States now recognizes Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And as we've been reporting, many, not all, but many in the Arab world are already threatening violence, certainly Hamas terrorists in Gaza. The same Hamas terrorists that throw hundreds of missiles aimed at killing innocent Israeli citizens, they say on Friday they're going to hold a day of rage. They've had days of rage now for decades, Palestinian terrorists. You know, even Pope Francis this morning quoted that he favors keeping the status quo. Obviously, I did not get to talk to the Pope directly, but keeping the status quo, you really want that kind of violence, the suicide bombers coming in and killing Israeli citizens? The reality is, folks, as we've talked about many times before, the Palestinian leadership does not want a two-state solution. Israel's been picked apart every time they make the compromises, and yet the violence continues. So today, President Donald Trump, and how he came to this decision, we don't know yet. I believe there's been some strong influence from people like Vice President Pence, who is an evangelical Christian and a supporter of Israel. Perhaps there's been some influence there, but also his faith advisors, which include people like Pastor Robert Jeffress of First Baptist Dallas. Perhaps they have had some influence there. But today is a big day. We need to be praying for the president. We need to be praying for the people of Israel today, the Jewish people of Israel, because they're going to need God's special hand once again of protection. I want to hear from you this morning, 888-589-8840, where you stand on this issue. Let's go first to Texas, and Sandy is on the line. Good morning, Sandy.
Yes, I just want to say, I didn't hear the beginning of the conversation, but the the core issue behind the church not standing with Israel is because of the position of replacement theology, that the church has replaced Israel, mm-hmm. and the amillennialism that the mainline Protestant churches still hold. But the other thing I wanted to mention is that the Palestinians were in other Muslim countries, Saudi Arabia and Egypt, and they kicked them out because of their, basically bad behavior. And these countries support the Palestinians being in Israel because they don't want them in their country. So they're basically rejected by the Muslim countries. We have to ask ourselves the question: then why are we wanting to support them if these other countries have kicked them out?
So. Oh, exactly, Sandy. You're exactly right. The Palestinians, if you want to talk about mistreatment, they've been mistreated by their fellow Muslims in countries including Jordan. You know, many people have thought, if the Palestinians want a homeland, why doesn't Jordan carve out a piece of their country just on the other side of the Jordan River? They could live in peace there. But no, this is not the issue at all. The issue here is that they want to wipe the Jewish people and the Jewish nation off the face of the earth. That is the real agenda. It has been the agenda of Yasser Arafat. It has been the agenda of Islamic terrorists. It has been the agenda of, quite frankly, the government, the Palestinian government of the West Bank, is to get rid of Israel totally. And they teach their children that. All right, to Louisiana and Daryl. Daryl, good morning. Welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Well, good morning, sir. I would like to just say God bless Donald Trump. I believe the Holy Spirit has moved on him to make this decision.
Mm-hmm. I believe you're exactly right. And I think he's had tremendous influence, as I mentioned a few moments ago, influence from people like Vice President Pence, who is a strong supporter of Israel. So we need to be praying for those folks too, for being that influence on the president. But he is making this decision. He will be held accountable. And I'm just going to make a prediction right now. If there's any violence, the mainstream media will blame President Donald Trump. They blame him for everything negative that's going on already. So just expect that kind of thing. Daryl, we thank you for your comment. To South Carolina now. Charles, good morning. Welcome.
Yeah, evangelical millennials, what you have to realize is their whole lives, in their schools, in the media, they hear nothing but lies about Israel, about the conflict between capitalism and communism. And pastors are the only ones that they respect and will listen to that can tell them the truth and disabuse them of these notions. Mm. Pastors like mine, for example, who's not a good pastor, he's a great preacher. Mm-hmm. And he gets it. But he doesn't do it as explicitly. He's timid. He tries to hedge his bets. They're not hearing it from the pulpit. They will listen if they hear the truth from the pulpit explicitly and vociferously, but they're not hearing it as a rule. That's why 2-1, they're wrong on all these issues, because they hear nothing but the lies. It's up to the pastors.
Yeah. Charles, thank you for that comment. And we were referencing just before we went to the break about this Lifeway research study. The results just came out on Monday this week. And that was certainly one of the strong points of the research, is that young evangelicals do not have the same dedication to Israel and the same understanding of God's perspective on Israel as older evangelicals in this country. And it's you need to get your hands on this survey to really get kind of the background and the analysis on this. And one of the things is, just as our caller from South Carolina just said, it's not being preached many times from our pulpits anymore. Or there is a new theology that's being preached, and that is replacement theology, that the church has replaced Israel. Yes, the Bible certainly talks about the church, but that doesn't mean the church has replaced Israel in God's eyes. Read Romans chapter 11. There's certainly a warning there from the Apostle Paul about Gentiles who become arrogant when it comes to the nation of Israel. Debbie in Illinois, good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning. I think it's fantastic what President Trump is doing. I've been praying for revival to come to the church in America that would bring about a spiritual awakening for several years now, and I believe that this is the circumstance that will finally bring that about.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too. And, you know, we have to go back. Debbie, thank you for your comments. We have to go back, I think, to Genesis chapter 12, you know, the Abraham covenant. And in verse 3, I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. And, you know, I want to take as many calls as possible, but is there historic evidence of that? You bet there is. You bet there is. One example. You remember there used to be the British Empire? You know, the sun never sets on the British Empire. The Brits have been very much against Israel in the reformation of Israel as a nation since 1948. The Brits have stood against that. As I say, there used to be that saying, the sun never sets on the British Empire. Well, it sure does now. There's nothing left of it. Nothing left of it. In fact, the Brits have some serious problems right now. They've had, and one of the reasons for Brexit is the Muslim invasion and the problems that that is causing in Britain right now. So, I mean, there's historic evidence, there's present-day evidence that those who have turned against Israel, God's curses will be upon them, and they will lack God's blessing. And God's word, God doesn't change his mind, folks. He really doesn't change his mind. And there is evidence in that in the nation of Israel today. Becky in Alabama. Becky, good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning. This is just really, really wonderful. I just believe this is our Heavenly Father at work. I know it is. It's him at work. And I think we focus a lot on what's going on down here, you know, like the Supreme Court and all that. Donald Trump, that's all great and wonderful, but it's the Holy Spirit working through Donald Trump. And we need to focus on that the Holy Spirit's in control, and that there's a court in the heavenlies and a judge in the heavenlies above the Supreme Court. above every judge, and he's making these decisions, and we live the decisions he makes, and he's made this decision, and I think it's great and wonderful, and that court meets year-round in the heavenlies, making these kind of decisions. He's watching, and then he makes his decisions, and I love it, I love it, I love it, and I think we need to just really give him praise and glory and honor for it.
Amen. Thank you very much, Becky, for that. James in North Carolina. James, good morning, and welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Yes, good morning. That word Palestine came from the Romans, who called the Jews Palestines in reference to the old Philistines.
That's right. You're exactly right.
Okay. As far as what the Pope said, everything should stay as status quo. Look, that Roman system wants to rule Jerusalem, and he will do his best to set up his kingdom in Jerusalem during this war that's going to happen over there. The key to all prophecy is timing, and that's what you're seeing now. But this country is going to be a lot of destruction here. Why? Because our government did not try to stop the infiltrators from the UN who built these terror cells in this country. They let them run free. That's where you're getting all these sanctuary cities and all that mess from. The criminal element in our government helped them set up those cells. And what's his name, Obama, he told it was on the radio just about 2 years ago before he got out. It says he told the FBI to stop surveying the terrorist cells. And that's what you see going on now.
All right, James, a couple of great points there. And James, that's a great history lesson from James on the word Palestinian. It does come from going back to the days of the Roman Empire, and they were so miffed that they just couldn't wipe out the Jewish people, that a Roman emperor basically, and it comes from the word Philistine, Philistina, and I'm probably not pronouncing that correctly, but he referred to the Jews as basically Philistines. He knew he thought that would really upset them, but a derivative of that Philistina has come down to our English language as Palestinian. So, as we mentioned a little while ago, the original Palestinians, folks, were all Jews, and Yasser Arafat in 1962 decided to borrow that word, steal it, probably is the better way to put it, and put it on the Arabs who were living in that land at the time. So a good history lesson there. Also, our caller mentioned the United Nations. You know, if you needed proof of the Satan's agenda against Israel, the United Nations has been providing that for a long, long time, folks. Look at all the resolutions they have passed against Israel, and they have bypassed resolutions against Islamic terrorists time and time again. When Israel defends itself, when it's under attack by terrorists, it is Israel that is condemned by the United Nations. Folks, you cannot explain that rationally. It is a spiritual warfare, and Israel is at the center of it. Hey, so good to be with you today. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy Rios in the Morning. As I say, it's going to be a big day. Stay tuned to programming here on AFR Talk. American Family News will give the best coverage we can to this historic day. President Donald Trump going to declare that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. An historic day. Good to be with you. We'll see you again real soon.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.